How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible.
Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day, especially when the season get hectic. I stay waiting on it like receiving a Nets pick. Nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth, you might even hear a story on Gigi. So in depth, they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth, you probably should pay them, but it's a freebie. Yeah, John Corrales and Jay King, locked on trying to get the 18th ring. So you can miss me with the blah blah. No more Geno time, we watching Jay do the Zaza. Melis.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. We want to thank you for making us part of your daily routine, Monday through Friday, through great weather, through shitty weather, through a blizzard that's about to be coming. We just want to thank you for making us part of your Monday through Friday routine. Today, Monday, the Monday show is coming to you after the Celtics beat the Chicago Bulls 100-80 in a just decimation of the once proud Chicago Bulls franchise. We are the Rain and Jays, John Corrales, Jay King, here to talk about that. And Jay, you saw this in front of you, alleged basketball by the Chicago Bulls.
Unfortunately, I did see it in person. I mean, I say unfortunately. My job is great. I'm very, very thankful to have my job. I have seen more exciting basketball games. The Bulls in that first quarter it was honestly like they had never played basketball before. Like they had never even considered playing not just basketball, a sport. like if you just threw 12 like artists or dancers who never tried sport onto a basketball court and said, here, take 19 shots. I think they would have hit more of them than the Bulls, who hit one of their first 19 shots. When you looked at it, like the shooting percentage got down to 5.3%. Like, I'm not even sure I've ever seen an NBA shooting percentage that low.
No, that's pretty terrible.
It was preposterous. It was disgusting. It was revolting. Like any young kids who watch that might just go play hockey instead. It was that type of game. Holy God, the Bulls were bad. Like the Celtics, they led by 29 at one point. They had some highlight plays. Jaylen Brown's finish, Jay Crowder's ridiculous pass, the play where Isaiah Thomas like batted it out of midair for an assist or a hockey assist. But I'm not even sure they played well, and they were still up 29. A couple of points in the second half.
Yeah, the Chicago Bulls were about as bad as you could ask an NBA team to be. They scored 9 points in the first period, first quarter. Nine points. How does an NBA team score 9 points in a single quarter? That's absolutely horrible. But they did. They shot and They kind of made up for it a little bit in the second half, but they scored 26 points in the entire first half. So,
yeah, 9 points in the first quarter.
Let's just throw that aside. Let's talk about a couple of the good things that happened here for the Boston Celtics, because we need to focus on some of the positive, because they came off of a very disappointing West Coast trip. And I say that knowing that they beat the Golden State Warriors, but they lost some really just bad games out west. They needed to make up for it. Washington's just on a crazy run right now where they've been a bad road team, but they just swept their West Coast trip. Back-to-back OT wins. So the Celtics really need to kind of keep up with Washington right now. They did what they needed to do today, Sunday. This is the Monday show. They did it on Sunday. So let's look at it. Al Horford had a really nice game, a plus 25, game high plus 25, 12 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists, team high 6 assists. Very nice. Isaiah Thomas, 22 points in 24 minutes. Just really nice performances. Avery Bradley. I just want to say that Avery Bradley, what he did to who was it that he ripped? Was it
Denzel Valentine when when they were up 30 and he picked up full court?
Yeah, I don't think it did he steal it from Valentine? I forget who he stole it from, and then hit the three. I don't think it was Valentine. Maybe it was Grant.
It's nice to have Bradley back, man.
Either way, it was just Avery Bradley's a bad man. And we forget, and we're so willing to trade him in these grand scenarios. But
that was Payne, by the way. That was Cameron Payne.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Yes. It was. Cameron Payne, by the way, just...
I don't know how I forgot that. I completely didn't remember that. The other time, he almost forced a turnover and was hounding. They were up 30, and Avery Bradley was picking up full court. Like,
yeah,
that's special when you do that.
Yeah. So we really, when we think about the backcourt and Avery Bradley is part of this logjam, and we think, well, Avery Bradley's the guy that we're most willing to just kind of trade in these scenarios, but. You look at him do what he did. That play on Payne was just – that was not fair. That was not fair because he just poked it away and almost like poked it away to himself in the corner and set up really nice, calmly, and splashed that three from the left corner. Unbelievable play. It's just – How can we be so willing to part with Avery Bradley? He's doing so many good things. He's doing so many good things, Jay.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, you're going to have to make a tough decision one way or another.
And I don't want to.
Obviously, Thomas, Bradley, and Smart all going to be up for contracts at the same time. And look, even if Bradley's a better player and he probably is at this stage of the development. Even if he's going to be the better player forever, which I'm not sure, the difference between having him as an unrestricted free agent and Marcus Smart as a restricted free agent is pretty substantial. So I don't know what way the Celtics will go. It might be whoever needs someone in a trade, but I don't think you can pay all those guys. And then probably add a guard. If they get one of those top two picks, if they get Lonzo Ball, if they get Markelle Fultz, whoever it is, then you just can't be paying all that money in the backcourt. So tough decisions. But yeah, Avery Bradley, he has very quickly shown his value again. You know, locking up Kyrie Irving on that pivotal play, and you know, the SWAT of Jimmy Butler. I don't think you gave us that enough credit, man.
Oh my God, that was such an awesome play.
Yeah, there you go.
That was such an awesome play. I'm just
love letters to Avery Bradley.
Yeah, right. Seriously, it's the Avery Bradley show right now. That was he has been just phenomenal. But I get it.
I do think he's kind of fallen into some of his bad habits with long twos. In a couple of these games, he's taken too many. I thought against Denver, especially, he took a lot of long twos early. He took I think a couple of them early tonight against Chicago. At least
he did.
At least one really early. So I would prefer him to take it beyond the 3-point arc again, or at least save the long twos until later in the shot clock. But I mean, defensively, obviously, he's elite on the ball, and we've always known that. But it is fun to he's fun to watch play defense. They have a lot of guys who it's fun to watch them play defense, like Marcus Smart, Avery Bradley. There aren't too many guys in the league who have better defensive highlights than those guys.
No, not really. I can't think of a guy who would have in the same game the two highlights Avery had against the Bulls. That block on Butler, which was absolutely amazing, and then that poke away on Payne and the three in the corner. Those are two just supreme defensive plays. Okay, so there's not a lot more to get into. We can try to break down this game, but what's the point of breaking down this game when Chicago was just so terrible? Let's talk about Chicago being terrible and the Celtics. Now, the Celtics during the draft and the trade deadline have been speaking to Chicago about Jimmy Butler, and Chicago's just been like, you really got to pry him away. Now, Chicago, after this loss, is 31-35, out of the playoffs, falling fast. They've lost five in a row. They are not really in a great spot. And you can say that Jimmy Butler's on a great contract, but what the hell are you going to do with a great contract when your entire team is just absolutely an abject failure? So Boston is looking for a star to go along with Isaiah and Al Horford. Chicago has a star. Boston has assets. Chicago needs assets. At what point does Chicago say, all right, fine, we'll give you Jimmy Butler?
I mean, to me, when I look at their team, like, there is no obvious way. Outside of Butler and, for now, Wade could opt out at the end of this year, I think. But outside of Butler, how many guys on that team are actually like starting level caliber prospects? Like, even as prospects, I don't know if they have a single other NBA starter eventually on that team. They barely have any real rotation guys. Someone tweeted, I'm not sure who tweeted it tonight, that they're basically the Nets with a true star. And like, they kind of are. I mean, just with a different Lopez twin. Like, they are bad. I don't like Michael Carter Williams as a prospect. Cameron Payne was bad today. He hasn't shown much either in Oklahoma City or Chicago. Denzel Valentine, Jerian Grant, Bobby Portis. Like, nobody on their roster has shown – none of the young guys have shown much long-term potential. And then there's just Jimmy Butler, so – I don't know what they will do. I don't know what they plan to do, but there's no easy fix with that team. And maybe it would be best to trade Butler, bottom out, get the Nets pick from the Celtics, and then your own pick, which would be in another high lottery pick. Maybe they should do that, because, God, like, there's a startling lack of talent on that team, especially after they traded away Taj Gibson and Doug McDermott, who were two rotation guys.
Yeah, the Chicago Bulls, I think, really just need to move on. And I think that Paxson and Foreman are just the wrong guy. They need to, from top to bottom, just figure out a new way. They need to just gut it all. Paxson's got to go. Foreman's got to go. Hoiberg's got to go. Jimmy Butler's got to get traded. They do own their own pick in this upcoming draft. So if they continue to be terrible, they could get a pretty high pick. If the Celtics are willing to give up the first round pick this year, the Brooklyn pick, the swap, then they could have theoretically the number one and another lottery pick. So you got two lottery picks, potentially one of them being the number one pick. And that's just a hell of a starting point for a team that is in need of rebuilding. Like, you got to just get to the bottom when you're a Chicago. You can't be lingering around the middle, or you can't be trying to make the playoffs when you're not even good enough to challenge Cleveland. You just have to bottom out. They have to bottom out. So give up Jimmy Butler. This is me talking directly to the Chicago front office.
John Corrales talking sense to the Chicago front office.
Give up Butler.
Gar Foreman, if you're listening, you should give up Jimmy Butler, because the rest of your roster is hot garbage.
It's terrible. It's pretty terrible. Now, here's a question for you, Jay. Giving up Jimmy Butler probably means giving Jaylen Brown. Are you willing to do that?
Here's the thing. If you have to give up Jaylen Brown, a Nets pick, and like Marcus Smart, that's a lot to give up, and B, probably worth it at the same time. I do think if you trade a lot of those pieces and get Jimmy Butler, like if you trade Crowder, Smart, and a Nets pick for Jimmy Butler, you run the risk of not getting too much better in the short term and then losing the draft capital and all that comes with it long term. I do see the risk there. Obviously, it's Jimmy Butler, though, and he's on a great contract. And at some point, you know, the price is going to change. Like, at some point, either the Bulls are going to cave and say, look, we need to bottom out. We're willing to do this with a little less. And, hey, maybe that comes if the Celtics get the number one pick. And all of a sudden, that's a game changer, because – instead of the uncertainty of it being a top four pick, now it's the one pick, and now you're the Bulls, and you're thinking, okay, now we know exactly what we can get. We can get the number one pick. We can get Markelle Fultz. We can bring him in here. We can have another bad team, because rookies, even the best ones, aren't very helpful to a basketball team, and we can get another top pick next year, and that would be enough to start a huge rebuilding process. But maybe it goes the other way. Maybe the Celtics at some point say, you know what, let's say they pick up Blake Griffin in free agency, and then say, you know what, we're willing to put in more pieces, because now we have another star player. We're more willing, because we don't think there's a chance anymore that Jimmy Butler gets us stuck like right behind Cleveland. We know that going out and getting him can push us over the top. So maybe that's what happens. There's a lot of different variables still that can go on. I mean, who knows? Chicago could keep Jimmy Butler for the duration of his contract. I just don't see the path that they have around him to building a successful club. And maybe they can pull off something. Who knows? But I just don't see it. It's hard to envision that team in that situation really turning things around with Jimmy Butler and his current contract and just the dearth of talent around him, because Jimmy Butler alone makes them close to a playoff team. And I mean, unless it's like the Celtics in 2007, where Paul Pierce got hurt and they ended up bottoming out with him basically on the bench for a super long losing streak. Like, I just don't see the Bulls getting that bad with Jimmy Butler that they'd be able to add the lottery talent that they need.
Well, Here's, I think, the question. Are the Celtics closer to getting Butler in a trade, or are they closer to getting a free agent in July? And I guess, would you rather have Gordon Hayward signed as a free agent or Jimmy Butler via trade in June?
I mean, absolutely, to me, if you can get Gordon Hayward without giving up any assets, you do it. And then you could keep the pick, you can keep the players, you can just add to your current core with a max guy like Gordon Hayward. And there would be some other costs, like you'd have to renounce Kelly Olynyk. You'd have to lose some fringe guys in the rotation, whatever. But you wouldn't have to part ways with your top assets to get Gordon Hayward if somehow the Celtics can pull that off. So to me, yes, Gordon Hayward should be the number one option, or Blake Griffin, whoever. A free agent should be the number one option, because then you don't have to part ways with the top 3-4 pick, whatever the Nets pick becomes. You don't have to part ways with Marcus Smart or Jaylen Brown. Like, if you can keep everything intact and just add another guy like that, whoa. Now you're talking about, like, super, super, super chance of being a winning team, not just next year, but for a long, long time. And maybe that would be the case anyway with just going out and trading for Butler. But I do think free agents, there's less of a cost if you pick up the free agent. And I don't think there's a huge difference between Gordon Hayward now, the way he's played this year for the Jazz, and Jimmy Butler. I do think Butler is a better player, but the gap isn't huge. Gordon Hayward is a stud.
Gordon Hayward has really kind of ascended. I remember over the summer we were talking about Gordon Hayward, and there was some trepidation. But now I feel like Gordon Hayward this season has matured into a star player. He is a star player. And if the Celtics can get him as a free agent, then that just changes a lot. And I don't expect that to be the case, because I don't expect free agents to change teams, especially when teams now have more ability to keep those guys, you know, so they can offer more money, they can offer more years. So I don't expect Hayward to be available, but, you know, Brad Stevens, Butler connection, you never know. If Utah does not seem like a viable option for him, and if he doesn't make an all NBA team this year, which he might not, I don't know. If he doesn't make an all NBA team and he doesn't have that supermax available, then there is more of a possibility that he could leave. And so if he goes anywhere, and maybe I'm being biased here, while no one really expects him to leave Utah, if he leaves Utah, Boston seems like the natural place for him to go. So yeah, maybe that's a thing to kind of...
I love how one game of watching the Bulls be an absolute pile of shit has us now discussing that they should trade Jimmy Butler, and whether Gordon Hayward or Jimmy Butler would be better for the Celtics. Like, I love how we just spun it off that 1-for-19 Bulls start, and now here we are talking about Gordon Hayward's free agency possibilities.
I'm gonna pull a Jay King here and say, is there a possibility we can get both guys?
Ooh, ooh, there we go. I like it. I mean, it would have to be Hayward first as a free agent. The timing would matter, but maybe I don't know if Gordon Hayward's a possibility.
No. You are the guy who wrote that Paul George and Jimmy Butler could have been here, so don't start shirking.
I'm just saying, I never said that there was a legitimate possibility of it. I'm just saying the Celtics do dream big. And
yeah,
they dream very big.
So let's dream big. We're on the podcast here. Let's dream big on the podcast. Let's do it.
Fine. You know what? They're going to get Hayward. They're going to get Butler. And they'll probably get George, too.
Sure. No, but seriously. They could sign Gordon Hayward as a free agent. That would mean... Is it possible? Could they make it work? Because they have to match salaries for Jimmy Butler. So they have to get rid of all of those guys for Hayward to be able to sign. But then to get Jimmy Butler, who will be making over $18 million next, that's when they have to get rid of Bradley and Crowder and somebody else and a pick. So, I mean, Bradley, Crowder, they make 14 plus million, and you can get rid of Rozier and the 18 pick, and that would work, I guess. I'm not sure. Maybe
somebody help. Somebody get on the trade machine and help us out. But we're just dreaming now, man. I do love just one shitty game by the Bulls.
Yeah.
And here we are trying to conjure trades that will land the Celtics both Gordon Hayward and Jimmy Butler.
that would still be a pretty nice, you know, Thomas, Hayward, Butler, Horford, and I don't know, me. Me, you at center? Would it matter at that point?
I think I could play a little center.
Yeah.
Check out my Twitter profile pic.
I'll bet you, you're out there. You're a rim protector. You're blocking a shot in that picture. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Probably my only shot block of all time.
I've blocked a few shots in my life, but significantly lower level than the NBA. So probably not. But, you know, hey, I'm available. I'm just saying, I'm available. I'm just there. I'll sign for the veteran minimum. It's cool. Want to DNP me? It's fine. You know, whatever. It's cool. I'll sign up for a podcast. I'll take over, you know, JJ Redick's podcast on the Vertical. No disrespect to the Locked On Network. If you want to do a player thing, I'll do it on the Locked On Network. We're a great network. I'll do it here. You know, whatever. I'm just saying, I'm flexible, guys. I'm flexible. Whatever. We're cool. I feel like this is a pretty good place to end this show. The Celtics won in a very big way. They won 100-80 over the Chicago Bulls. They are tied in a general sense with the Washington Wizards, but they trail by percentage points. They have one more win, but one more loss. So they are percentage points behind the Wizards. They now go off to play. Brooklyn? What is the hold on, let me look up this here. Brooklyn 76ers and who else before facing the Wizards? It'd be great if I had the schedule up. That would make this so much more smooth. Minnesota, Brooklyn, and Philadelphia before playing the Wizards. That Wizards game's going to be the deciding factor if the Celtics get the second or third seed. Because if they beat the Wizards at home Monday, March 20th, that will change the entire dynamic of they will gain a full game. They will, I think, be 2-2, so they'll go to a different tiebreaker. Just a big stretch here of the next four games. Celtics are going to be facing Minnesota, at Brooklyn, at Philly, and then Washington at home. So the next four games could decide whether the Celtics get the second seed or the third seed. And then we'll figure out if they get Jimmy Butler or if they get Gordon Hayward or if they get whatever. So we want to say thank you for listening to the show. Thank you for subscribing on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever it is you get your podcasts. Thank you for doing that. If you haven't done that, search Locked On Celtics. If you haven't rated us, please do that. Rate us 5 stars. If you don't want to rate us 5 stars, then don't rate us at all. But 5 stars would be great because that helps spread the word. It helps get more people subscribing. It helps us get our podcast numbers up. It gets our advertising numbers up. That helps us buy things like beer for the weekend. So please do that. And we'll be back tomorrow. Thanks for listening. This has been the Locked On Celtics Podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Yeah, JK.
King and John Corrales. Locked on Celtics. Millie's.
Napa Know How.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa auto parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.